The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bibles, whether in print form or electronic form, and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 22 as our text for today. The title of our sermon today is Resurrection Power in You. As we gather in this room, as well as other believers around the world, around the globe, who have worshiped already in other time frames, and those who are gathering now to worship, there are two types of people who gather. One is the type of people who have truly repented and placed faith in Jesus Christ, and two, those who have not followed. And in this very room, there are those two types of people. Either you have truly surrendered and followed Jesus, or either you're here and you're listening and you've not truly made that decision yet today. This sermon that we're looking at, this passage of Scripture of Jesus' resurrection power, is something that I want you to be able to get today. That you would understand, for those of you who are believers, that this is applicable for you. This is not just a historical event that we come together and commemorate just once a year. But what I want you to get is how that Jesus' resurrection power is available and in your life for everyday living. And for those of you who have not yet surrendered, I want you to get today that you're just living in your own power and there's a better way, God's way, to surrender your life to Christ, to be able to have that resurrection power in you. The passage of Scripture that we're studying this morning, Ephesians 1, 15 through 22, really with our concentration in verses 19 through 22, comes from a prayer that Paul had. Paul, who is the author of this letter to the church at Ephesus, he had a prayer for the believers who were there that they would get, they would understand, they would know three important elements of truths. He prayed that they would understand about the hope that God has for them as believers. Two, he prayed that they would understand about the glorious inheritance that we have as believers. And third, he prayed that they would know and understand the immeasurable greatness of the resurrection power that's in them. We're going to read the passage. It tells us about all those things, but for our time together today, we're going to focus on the third element that Paul prayed for. He longed for this people to get that there is an immeasurable greatness of power from the resurrection that's in us. Oh, how I want the same thing for us in this room and for those who are listening. There are many Christians who live defeated and discouraged and powerless lives, often maybe out of ignorance, not really knowing in regards to the power that we actually have as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or the fact that they know it, but they're not experiencing the power that is available to us. My prayer today is that you would understand that this is just not a historical Christian calendar event, but this event that we celebrate that literally changed history, that changed the way that we keep our calendars today, is the same event that can change your life on a daily basis, on Monday morning, on Tuesday afternoon, at Wednesday at lunch, at Thursday at nighttime, and Friday when you're at work, and Saturday when you're at home, and Sunday when you're back here. This day that we celebrate changes our lives every day. And I pray that you will get it. I pray that you will see it today. Let's read the passage of Scripture this morning. Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 20 is where we'll just read for now, and then we will be studying verses 19 and through 22. For this reason, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. So he's praying that through the Spirit, God will give them revelation, understanding, insight. And you see it again in verse 18. Praying that you will have the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. There's the first thing that I mentioned to you. And what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. That's the second thing that I mentioned to you. So hope and inheritance. And here's what we're focusing at this Easter Sunday. And that you would know what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now, I want you to understand something. Paul is writing to those who were already in the faith. But notice what he is praying is that he is asking that God, through the Spirit of God, would help them to know this. So if you're sitting in this room and you say, Pastor, I'm a believer, but maybe I don't know all of these truths, that's okay. We want you to get it after we've had time together today. May you understand that ignorance is a great tool of our arch enemy, Satan. Ignorance is a great tool that Satan wants you to be in. Ignorance of the truth that we're about to learn today, that those who are in Christ actually have the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same power that actually is in us for those who believe. So today, we want to defeat the enemy. Today, we want to put the enemy at bay by guarding ourselves, empowering ourselves, and tooling ourselves to learn this truth. So as you leave today, as you go about your life today and tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we want you to be empowered. That you understand that the resurrection that we're celebrating today actually affects you as a believer every day. So as we say the word together, there's five truths from this passage that we want to go over this morning. Number one, from this passage of Scripture, the first truth that I want you to see is that Jesus' resurrection power is available right now for those who believe. And we understand this passage of Scripture is not talking about something that's going to be in the future. He's not talking about something that was just in the past. He's saying this is available to those who believe right now. Look at verse 19 once again. What is the immeasurable greatness? Remember, this is what he's praying. I'm praying that you know what's the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Now, if he's saying he wants them to know about this power right now for those who are believing, he's referring to those in the present time then as well as for us. He's not saying this power is going to come later, but those who believe, that power is available. Now, what truth are we actually talking about? What power is it that we see? I want you to make the connection between Jesus' resurrection and you. Notice what he says in verses 19 and 20 that we read. He's praying for the immeasurable greatness of their power that they would know this, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Put the dots together. The power that God used to raise Jesus up from the dead, that his lifeless body would be raised again. Paul is saying this is the same power that is at work in us for those who have believed. So when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't gather in this room to commemorate someone who's in a tomb. We don't come together to commemorate someone who just had great teaching. We come in this room because the one who had great teaching, the one who was in the tomb, is now the tomb is empty and that he is risen again. So we celebrate. We're celebrating today the fact that God, the power that he used to raise the lifeless body of Jesus, to raise it to life, is the same power that when you believed in Jesus is the same power that is in you right now. Now, I want you to understand something. We need to understand the fullest element of this doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus' body so we can really grasp what Paul is talking about here. Paul, who wrote the book of Ephesians, wrote 13 books in the New Testament. And as he wrote, as he talked about this resurrection of what Christ can do, I want you to get the picture like this. When God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus' body was lifeless when they put it in the tomb. His soul was not there. His soul was in heaven awaiting for that resurrection. And when his body rose again, his soul was reunited. And that body was not just the same. God definitely raised it from the dead, but he transformed that body from just a physical body to a glorified, perfected body. So when God raised him from the dead, certainly they were able to recognize him. Because if you remember the story, when Thomas and the disciples were in the room, Thomas was doubting and Jesus said, "See my hands, see my side, Thomas." He was telling him, they recognized him, but there was perfection. It was a glorified body. Why are we looking at that? Because the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, who would raise up the lifeless body of Jesus to not just give it life and give it breath again, but he transformed that to make it perfected. Why does that connect with us? Turn just one book over. You're in Ephesians. Go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I want you to see what Paul says in regards to what God is going to do in us in regards to what he did through Christ. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. Paul said, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. Now let's pause right there. If Paul is praying and saying that one day God is going to change us, transform us like His glorious body, that means that when God raised Jesus from the dead, He raised that physical body and gave Him a glorified, perfected body. And Paul is saying, we're awaiting one day when Jesus comes back, that same God who transformed Jesus is the same God who will transform us. Notice at the end of that verse 21, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. What does that mean? What's the connection? So when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, this same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us, is the same power that transformed Christ to a glorified body. And so Christ... power is in us to transform us. Now, what he's talking about here specifically is at the very end, when Jesus comes back, if we're alive, our bodies are going to be transformed. But we all have imperfections. We exteriorly, we're not being changed right now, but internally, we are being transformed. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, this same author, Paul, is telling us what God is doing on the inside. Philippians 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and you read verse 19, and Paul says, the power that is in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now let's put the truths together. In this whole doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we understand that God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, who transformed Him into a glorified body, is the same one who is working in us. One day will transform us and glorify us, but internally, that same power that changed His life is in us and should be changing you and me. So if you say, well, I got saved, but I'm no different. No, 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 you didn't get saved then. Because if God is in you, the power that raised Him from the dead, that's pretty dramatic. You should be changing by the Spirit of God in your life. So if you got saved last week, there might be a little change. You got saved 5 years ago, there's a little bit more change. If you got saved 50 years ago and you're walking with the Lord, there should be a big difference of change. You're still growing with wrinkles and you're still getting achy and you still get bursitis and arthritis and whatever else itis you might get. You're growing in those things, but one day you're going to be transformed and perfected. But internally, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead should be changing us. That's the resurrection power that's in us. God doesn't save us just to set us to the side and just leave us be and just to be a number in the kingdom and say, okay, I got that one. No, the Spirit of God who is in us, that rages from the dead, is in us. And that's good news because I don't know about you, but I always need transforming. And so this morning, yes, we're here to commemorate what Jesus did and He rose again, but I'm here to tell you that same power that raised Him from the dead is in you. And so if you feel like, man, you're hopeless, you feel like that you've got a big work project going on to you, guess what? You're big enough for God to handle. God can handle it if he can take a lifeless body and raise it to life. He can work in us. So He's a resurrected Christ who's available, but let me say something to you too. That's only available to those who believe. Look at that passage again. Verse 19. He wants them to know what's the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe. We need to define what kind of belief we're talking about. This is not just mental acknowledgement belief. The Bible tells us in the book of James that the demons believe and shudder. This is more than just simply acknowledging that there's an Easter holiday. This is believing in the working power of Christ to save us. Go back just verse 13 of the same chapter that we're in. Paul defines for us what this belief is initially. Verse 13, in Him you also heard the word of truth. What is that truth? It's the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in Him. What is the belief that brings us into that power? It's belief in the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that we are sinful and that we are separated from God. But Christ, who came, made a way. And if we believe in Him, He can restore us and make us right with Christ. That's the gospel. So Paul is saying to us, I want you to know about the immeasurable greatness of the power that's in you. So Paul is talking to people who've already had belief. Then why would he then say it's available to those who would believe? Understand that there is this initial aspect of belief that we have to get to that point. But there has to be an ongoing belief to continue to stay connected to that power that is available to us. Technically, here in this verse, the word believe is the believing. It's the participle. It's the ongoing aspect. Paul is saying, I want you to know about the immeasurable greatness of his power to those who are believing. What that means is this. Let's just make it very practical. If you are walking with God and you're spending time with Him and you're in the Word and you're spending time in prayer and you're hanging out with other believers, you get challenged and you get encouraged and you feel closer to God, you feel more connected to the power of God, but you just put that on pause for a week or two and you begin to slowly begin to feel that you're relying on Byron's power, your own power, instead of God's power. Paul is saying, this resurrection power is available to those who are believing. That we must continue to be growing in our believing. Doesn't mean that you need to get saved over and over again, but every day I'm trusting. I'm trusting in the truth of what God has said. I'm putting my faith in those things, and I'm resting in the fact that God's power is able to do whatever it is that is in front of me. God's power. For if you say, I know those truths, but I'm not experiencing the truth, then I ask you to evaluate your faith and your walk right now. Listen. Listen to what God says. I'm just going to quote it. It's not going to be on the screen, but I want to quote it for you. God said these words in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Now you put those truths together. If you're not experiencing resurrection power as a believer, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to remind you. I'm here to encourage you that the resurrection is power is available for all those who pursue and seek Him. The more that we're believing, the more that we're trusting, God's power is available to us. Now, some of you may say, okay, I get it. I understand that it's available for those who believe, but is it really that great? And the answer to that is yes. The second truth that Paul makes very clear to us is that Jesus' resurrection power is immeasurable. Look at the text again there in verse 19. He wants them to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power. Now, don't you think about what he says here. Paul could have just said, I want you to know about the immeasurable power. And that would have been sufficient. He could have just said, I want you to know about the greatness of his power. And that would have been sufficient. But he puts two descriptions here. I want you to know about the immeasurable greatness of his power. It's like in our language, like exclamation, exclamation, exclamation to the exponent of 40,000. I want you to know about the immeasurable greatness of God. We know about measurements in our context here, South Louisiana. We live and understand something by the Saffir-Simpson hurricane wind scale. Category 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Does that make better sense then? We know what those are. We live by that. So we understand what tropical depression and then tropical warning and then Cat 1, Cat 2, Cat 3, Cat 4, Cat 5 in regards to those different measurements. The Air Force will send in a plane into the eye of the hurricane to be able to measure and comes back and gives a reading so they can measure it. Cat 1, if it's 74 to 95 miles per hour. Cat 2, 96 to 110. Cat 3, 111 to 129. Cat 4, 130 to 156. Cat 5, 157 or higher. We don't like any of those. I don't like any of those cats. I'm not a cat person anyways. But they measure it. Even if it's beyond that measurement, they still measure, say it's a cat 5. You know, it's still high. Where I grew up in North Alabama, we have tornado ratings. We call those F1s through F5s. And people have asked me, which is worse? And the answer is, yes. They're all bad. I mean, they're all terrible and tragic and destructive in regards to what they do. I want to show you another tool that I use to measure things. If I'm doing work around my house and electricity, this is what's called a voltmeter. This voltmeter has the ability to test electricity and currency. I can set this up to 300 volts. So I can measure electricity up to 300 volts. Now, if I want to do something smaller, even to test like a little battery, for example, then I'm going to turn that voltage all the way down. If I just want to test a 9-volt battery or a little bit small battery, I can do that. And I can put the black on one end, I can do the red on the other. I can measure it. But if there's electricity that's beyond 300 volts, it's immeasurable for me. I have to get a different measurement tool. But the reality is there's other voltmeters that are made by other companies that are higher than that, that actually can test higher levels. But Paul says the power of Christ is immeasurable. There's nothing that you can measure. If Paul lived in South Louisiana when he wrote this, he would have probably said, there's no category that can describe the power. Listen closely. This is the power that's in us. That's amazing. To think that Paul is telling us that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in me. And how many of us have felt like that we are defeated because we can't seem to do certain things? So when we say, I can't. You're right, you can't. But God can. When we feel like that we can't do certain things, we can say, I can't, but God can. So this is where I was saying to you that ignorance is one of the great tools of the enemy. He wants you to think that you can't. But if Christ can raise Jesus from the dead and He lives in you and you're trying to live godly and you're trying to conquer sin, God can. This is not the only time that Paul describes the greatness of God. Look at Ephesians 3. Notice Ephesians 3, 19 and 20. Paul uses this exponential description of the greatness of God. He uses it in verse 19 to talk about the love that is so great of God. And I want you to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may feel with the fullness of God. Then verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Now, I just ask you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you may have come here feeling defeated and discouraged. My prayer is that you would leave today with armor to know that you do not have to be defeated, you do not have to be discouraged, and the power of Jesus Christ that's in you is greater than whatever it is that you are facing. Now, this is not to say that your life may be easy. This is not to say that your life may not be filled with difficulty. In fact, there are many people as a part of this church who have faced a lot of great difficulties. And we look at their lives, and the only answer to them to be able to walk through those difficulties is because of this truth right here. Because of the power of the resurrection that lives in them. Now, Paul makes it very practical. He makes it very practical when he look to this passage of Scripture, and I just ask you this question. What's going on in your life right now that you feel that just you can't do? Is it a marriage? Is it parenting? Is it finances? Is it physical? Is it sickness? Is it emotional? You fill in the blank, and you lay hold of this truth, and you pray like this. God, the power that you used to raise Jesus from the dead, you say, is in me. I can't do this in my own power. So God, by your power that's in me, enable me to do what only I can do, and you do what only you can do. And let the power work. If there is a kink in the electrical line, when we're talking about electricity, the power doesn't flow. A few months ago, our well here went out. Many of you probably remember we had to send out a text and say, don't come to church. We just started coming back to church and we had to cancel church once again because the well went out. You say, well, that wasn't a big issue. Well, bathrooms would have been an issue for you. We discovered that there was a pinhole, the size of a pinhole, that was in an underground wire that had come from the factory, and water had got in that tiny pinhole and it caused the wire to burn. And so the electricity couldn't flow. Some of us in our lives may have pinholes and we don't think they're that big of a deal. The pinhole over time, it took right at about a year for the water to penetrate and cause the wire to fry. God's power is immeasurable. But if we have sins in our lives, we need to deal with them so the power can flow. So don't live by saying, it's just a pinhole, Pastor. It's another lie of the enemy. In fact, what Paul makes very clear in the very next passage of Scripture is to say the same resurrection power that's in us is greater than any sin and death itself. Look at the passage of Scripture and let's make that practical to our lives. Verse 20, let's read 19 and 20 again. Paul prays, I want you to know what is the measurable greatness of His power towards us who believe. According to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from what? From the dead. Now you say, Pastor, I don't see the word sin in the text, but I see it on your screen. Well, let me help you understand the connection. Let me remind you of what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Paul says these words, the wages of sin is what? Death. So when we see the very reality that Christ died for all sin, and He died and He laid His life down, when we understand that sin is what leads to death, and we understand Christ, who was raised from death, meaning that He's greater than the very thing that caused death, which is what? Sin. So the resurrection power that is in us is greater than any of our, you fill in the blank, sins. So if you say, I struggle with, don't confess it, whatever that blank is, I'm here to remind you that the enemy is good at reminding you of the struggles. He's good at throwing the struggles in front of you. In my pastoring and my counseling with people, and I say, why do I struggle with this? And here's the answer. Because Satan knows our own weakness. Your weakness is different than my weakness. He's got his own schemes and his own darts, and he's really good. He's not omnipresent, but his demons are all over the place. And so I can imagine they probably have a counsel and say, hey, Byron's going to the park this week. Can you just throw this dart at him when you're over there, since that's your territory? Listen, we live in a spiritual war. We live in a spiritual battle, but I'm here to tell you that the power of God through the resurrection that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's in you. If Christ can rise again from death, that sin calls to death, then practically that means that Christ is greater than any sin that I struggle with. So in the same way that we just gave an explanation a while ago in praying, you pray this, oh God, I am wrestling with this struggle. But God, you say that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, so enable me to give me power to say no to this sin, to say yes to righteousness. Do you not think, even in praying that there may still be a struggle? Paul tells us in Corinthians that there's a way of escape. That temptation will be there, but we have to run the other way. We often have to close the door to the struggle that's there. How many of you had great weeks before where you've lived victoriously, you've lived in godliness, you've lived in holiness, and then all of a sudden, boom, here it is right there from the enemy. In those moments, the Easter morning is a reminder to us that the resurrection power is still available to you even on those blindsided moments. He is good. Now I want you to see something in the text. Look at your Bible again. I want you to notice two words that Paul uses to describe what God did through Christ in verse 20. The power of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him and seated Him. Two words. He raised Him and seated Him. What does that mean? If Christ was risen, then it's a promise that He lives forever. When Christ is seated, it means He reigns forever. So He reigns higher than all things. And the fact that Christ sat down didn't mean that Jesus was tired. It means His work was complete. Yes, amen and amen and amen. that the Savior that we worship, the Savior that we sing to, that we're teaching about in this very moment, the power of God that's in us, we don't have to worry and wonder, I wonder if there's going to be anything else that's greater than Him. The answer to that is no. Because He's seated means He's ruling and reigning over all. He's ruling and reigning over sin, and He's ruling over death. He has defeated the sting of death. It's done. So you and I have no fear. Even if you're given some kind of diagnosis of some incurable cancer, the power of Christ is still in you to enable you to face that struggle to the very end. You and I do not serve a powerless Redeemer. So if you in this room and those who are watching online have never surrendered your life to Christ, I'm here. I hope you're hearing and listening to the great news of what Christ is. He's greater than all. Second application that Paul makes in the fourth point is, yes, He is risen and He is exalted. But Paul also makes it clear to let us know that Christ is exalted over every demonic power. Jesus' resurrection power in us is greater than Satan and all of his demonic powers. Look at the passage again. Verse 20. I pray, he says, that you would know about this according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. How do we know that that rule and that power and that authority and that dominion is actually referring to demonic powers? We'll look at chapter 6 of the same book. In Ephesians chapter 6, a passage of scripture that we talked in regards to the armor of God, Paul makes it very clear that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but these same words that he uses in chapter 1 are the same terms he uses in chapter 6 to refer to the demonic realm. Look at chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You know what Paul's saying? Those same terms he's just used in chapter 6 to refer to the demonic powers. Because some would say, well, back in chapter 1, he's just talking about physical authority, physical power, physical dominion. I don't think so, because he makes it very clear in chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, that those authority, those rulers, and those powers are connected to the demonic realm. Why is that important? Because, put the connection together. Paul is saying, I want you to know that the resurrection power that is in you, the same one that raised Christ from the dead, has raised Christ and he's exalted him above all demonic rule, all demonic power, and all authority. That same power that puts Christ above all those things is the same power that's in us. That means practically no demonic power or authority or ruler has any authority over you as a believer in Jesus Christ. But let me show you the end of what will happen to Satan. Revelation 20, verse 10, we'll put it on the screen for you. When John the Apostle wrote these words, Revelation 20 and 10, the devil who had deceived them, and by you know, he is a deceiver. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of the fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. What is his end? His end will be in the lake of fire. You say, wait a minute, I thought that Christ said he was exalted over him. Satan knows his end. But until then, let me remind you what he's doing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful, be your adversary. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Do you know who this someone is? You, me, as a believer in Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, I thought Christ, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, says that Christ is exalted above all those things. Absolutely, he is. But Satan is going to prowl around trying to do everything he can do. Because guess what? If you put the connections together, look back at verse 19. He wants them to know about the immeasurable greatness of His power towards who are believing. So if we're not walking with the Lord and we're not actively believing, we're not growing in our faith, guess who Satan wants to prowl against? The weak ones. You ever watch those National Geographic stories and the lion is chasing? He doesn't go after that little strong one. He goes after that weak one that's struggling back there. And he catches him. Now don't think in your mind to say, okay, well, as long as I read my Bible and pray, I'm good. Wrong. He will come after you as well. Because he has a war with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So here's what we need to understand. So when Satan is trying to defeat us, because he will come against us. Marriages, husbands and wives, Satan will come against you to destroy you. But the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you to enable you to love each other, to forgive each other, to endure to each other. Godly husbands, wanting to live, to be a godly husband to your wife, understand Satan will come against you, but Jesus' resurrection power is great enough to help you to overcome battles that he throws at you. A godly wife and mom, you're aiming to be that godly wife and mother. Satan will wage war against you to try to be that way, but Jesus' resurrection power is in you to help you to overcome the lies that Satan throws your way. Teenager, young adults, your attempts to try to be godly and holy and righteous and say no to sin and walk the right way, Satan will throw his darts at you. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, his resurrection power is strong enough in you to resist temptation, to walk the other way, to turn off the cell phone, to close the phone, to be able to turn the TV off and be walking with God. Those of you who have past of sins or addictions or struggles, or things that you're embarrassed of, Satan is good at waging war against you and throwing it back at your face and tempting you with those things. But I'm here to remind you that you're not just a recovering whatever. You're redeemed. And Jesus' resurrection power is in you to help you live for Him. Yes, praise the Lord. No matter what your struggle is from your past, I'm here to let you know that the one who's ruling and reigning and that power that God raised him from the dead is the same power in us. And Satan wants you to be ignorant of that truth. Well, he has been defeated today because the truth is known. But the truth is only so good when you live in it. So let me recap. For those of you who are believers, Jesus' resurrection power is available now for those who believe. Jesus' resurrection power is immeasurable. So when you're thinking, well, my stuff is too great for him, no, you would be reminded that it's immeasurable. Thirdly, Jesus' resurrection power is greater than any sin, and he's conquered death. And Jesus' resurrection power is greater than Satan and all of his demonic forces. You say, as a believer, today when you leave, you have reason to be hopeful. You have every reason to be hopeful. To trust that we're not just marking a calendar holiday event. We've been reminded today that the resurrection power that brought Jesus from a lifeless body to breathing, to now be ascended and to be reigning, that we trust that that same power can enable us to live for Him. Now, some of you are in this room, and maybe some of you who are listening, you say, well, Pastor, I have not yet surrendered to Christ, and my sins are too great. Not based upon what we just read. So if you're sitting here in this room, and you're listening online, and you've never surrendered to Christ, you are living in your own power. And God wants to give you resurrection power to live. How does that happen? Look at chapter 2 very quickly. Because the fifth truth that I want you to see is that Jesus' resurrection power is able to save anyone Look at verse 1. Why is it so good to know that Christ is exalted above all things? Because Paul's about to tell us that before we give our life to Jesus, we're actually following the spiritual forces of this world. The very forces that he's exalted above. But until we follow Jesus, we're following the prince of this world, which is Satan. Chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. You followed the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Pause right there. Hear what Paul is saying? The Christ who is risen above all demonic forces, he's reminding us we used to follow those forces. You say, well, I wasn't opposed to God. Yes, you were. Before we give our life to Christ, we ignorantly and sometimes willingly are following the prince of this world who is Satan himself. And he's good at deceiving us to think that we're okay. In fact, I've said this before, one of the greatest lies that Satan gives is to make you think that you're actually saved when you're actually not. So the truth is here. We all follow our own course of this world, giving into the desires of our flesh, giving in, as he says right here, carrying out the desires of the body and our mind. And Paul is saying, remind you, listen, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is able to set you free from those things. Because Satan will tell you, you can't get free from those things. You can't change from those things. But there's something that he says in verse 4. Say these two first with me. But God. Don't you love the but God verses? Because we say, I was a mess, but God. I was sinful, but God. I followed the course of this world, but God. I was an adulterer. I was a drunkard. You get the picture? All those things are following the course of this world, but the good news is this is what Paul is saying. Don't divorce chapter 2 from chapter 1. Chapter 1 is that he's risen. And chapter 2, he says, you used to be dead, but guess what? The same Christ that got risen from the dead, guess what he did to us? Look at verse 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, has now made us, what? Alive! Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Guess what Christ did? The only way that he could raise us from spiritual death to life is because he was raised from death to life. So this morning, those of you who are in Christ, you have a reason to celebrate. You have a reason to actually celebrate every day. That the same Christ who was risen again, this resurrection power, Paul says, I want you to know it. I can just feel the reverberation and I just want to echo that same thing. I feel by Paul's prayer, my prayer for you is I want you to know it. I don't want you just to have a church service and go home. I want you to know this. I want you to live in this. I want you to know that the resurrection power, teenager, can be in you and change you. So as you face college and decisions, I want you to know that resurrection power can change your life. Adults, when you're bombarded with decisions, I want you to know the resurrection power can change your life. Live in that reality. Do not walk in ignorance and the futility of our own ways. The resurrection power. Who doesn't want the same power to raise Christ up from the dead to be in us? So if you were here and you say, okay, Pastor, I have not surrendered. What do I do? You do what he says in verse 13 of chapter 1. You have heard the truth. You need to believe today. You believe is what Paul says in Romans 10, 9 and 10. You confess with your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. So in this room and at home, if you have not done so, today is your day to be set free from the prince and the power of this air. to be raised to life and have Christ. I'll close with this illustration. I want you to imagine with me, you're bankrupt financially. And you learn that one of your heirs has left you a lockbox key at a bank full of ample supply of revenue to take care of you for the rest of your life. You say thank you, and you leave the key on the counter. And you struggle financially in debt because you say, I want to do it on my own. How foolish you would be. And in the same way, God has a lockbox that's been made wide open of immeasurable greatness of power for us as believers. For those who believe, He says this power is for you. So believer, stop struggling in our own power and believe. You say, well, Paul wrote this and he's got it all perfected. Oh no. Flip just one book over and I want to show you his prayer. In Philippians, you're in Ephesians, just go over to one book. Philippians 3. So Paul, same one who wrote Ephesians, same one who wrote Philippians. This is a continuation of his prayer. We're going to pull one verse out of his prayer. That I may know Him and the, what? Power of His resurrection. Here is Paul begging for his church at Ephesus to understand the power. And at the same token, he's saying, I want to know more of the power. You and I cannot reach a certain level and say, I've arrived, I'm great. We need to be just like Paul and want, yearn, long for the power, the resurrection power. And the great news is this, God will give it to you. So believer, I don't know, some of you in this room have come in here today struggling with different things in your life. And the application of Easter 2021 is to remind you, you don't have to handle it in your own power. Jesus' resurrection power is available to you. So in a moment, there's going to be people here at the front where you can respond. I'll be here in the center. John and Blair Jameson will be my right. John, our family member care, Pastor Nagaris, will be here at my left. And God is drawing you. And they're here. If you say, I just need prayer. I need help in regards to God to work in you. We'll pray for you. But if you have not trusted in Christ, then today, I challenge you. Call out to the resurrected one to save your dead soul. And let Him bring you to life. You can do that by coming forward. You can just do that right where you are, at home and in this room. Or according to that text I gave you at the very beginning, you text church info to 94,000. You say, I want to follow Jesus. Press that button and we'll be in touch with you. But you can just call out and say, I want Christ. Save me, oh God. And He'll save your soul. Let's pray. Father, You have given us a good word this morning. Oh God, my prayer for the people here in this room and those who are watching online is the same as Paul's. Oh God, I want them to know it. Enlighten our eyes, Lord, to this great resurrection, powerful truth. Thank You, oh God, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that immeasurable greatness of power is in us. Lord, we confess as believers that we often rely on our own power and do not trust and rest in Yours. But God, you've reminded us today that you tell us that this power is available to those who are believing. So God, help us to keep on believing. Help us to keep growing. Lord, there are some in this room and some who are listening who've come and they're hearing this word and their world is filled with difficulties and struggles. And some of them have come in here where their head's high, but yet their heart is heavy. God, today, through your word, you have reminded them that no matter what the struggle is, your resurrection power is there to help them. Oh God, I pray for the individual in this room who's trying to do it in their own strength. God, bring them to their knees and their hearts and their eyes to turn upward and cry out to the resurrection power that is immeasurable to help them. Rescue us, Lord, from our self-sufficiency and dependency. We need you, oh God. And God, there are some in this room and some who are watching online who have never surrendered to you. Oh God, today, would you do the same thing that you says in Ephesians 2:4, but God, rich in mercy, has made us alive together with Christ. God, would you raise dead boys, girls, men, and women to life today? Give them spiritual life today through the resurrected Son. Now, God, as we sing, Lord, I need you. It is our prayer to you, God. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we respond, we're here to receive you. John and Blair to my right. John and Gail to my left. You need salvation, you come. Other struggles in your life, you just need us to pray for. You come. Those of you at home, respond. Take the moment. Don't get distracted. Respond to what God has spoken to your heart right now. Let's sing this song as our prayer. Lord, I need you. Sing it from your heart. Lord, we need you.